Well, here we are, as Pastor Chuck said, the last Sunday of 2019. We're about to leap into 2020, which is a leap year. So anybody who has a February 29th birthday, anybody? Nobody? Right there, February 29th. You must be all of like 10 years old. And how old are you? 15 this year. Wow. I just think that's incredible. I mean, what do you do when you don't have a birthday every 4 years? So you need to throw her a big party this year. Wait a minute, 4 more years, she'll be sweet 16. How about that? So anyway. But anyway, we're heading into 2020, and how many have had a lot of things take place this last year? Yeah, things happen. Let me ask this question. How many of you purchased something this last year, and it's already gone? Now, I know the food you purchased is already gone. I know that. In fact, I said it to my pastor's staff, and it was James Loris who said, "Yeah, my garbage bags are gone." That's your husband, so. But how many have bought something that it's already broken, it's already missing, or it's already been thrown away from 2019? Anybody? Yeah. How about any time in your life, the stuff you bought, is it, you know, missing? Yeah. How many have learned that stuff just doesn't last? Yeah. Quit buying stuff. That's the message. Now, today, I want to talk to you about things that will last. Faith, hope, love. This morning, I'm going to invite our kids to help me out this morning. So I can't make you come up here, but I'm going to invite any kids that just want to gather around the steps. Come on up. Now I'm forcing you. Come on up. So our kids, let's have a seat. Yeah, have a seat right there on the steps. That's a great place. Look at here. Today I asked just to kind of join together, and I know families are on vacation and a lot of people, and so I said, listen, let's just talk together and have a little fun. You're going to have to turn and probably look at me a little bit this way, because I'm going to talk to you guys today, and they're going to listen in. Is that okay? Is that right? When do I get to do kids' church? Not very often, right? So anyway, so I'm going to do it today. Let me read a scripture to you. It's going to be up on our screen here. 1 Corinthians 13, and 3 verses I want us to look at. It says, when I was a child... How many of you feel like you're still a child? Yep. Yep. Anybody out there? When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. Do you get in trouble sometimes for thinking like a child and reasoning like a child? You're a child. Parents, they're a child. And the Bible says... I want you to hear clearly that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. But the rod will drive it far from them. Now, I think sometimes we forget they're children. And yet, we're all children of God. And foolishness can be bound up in your heart still as a child of God. And we need the discipline of the Lord. When I was a child, I spoke, I thought, and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, aren't you excited about growing up? Really? Listen to this carefully. I put away childish things. So when you grow up, you got to put the child stuff away. He goes on and says, now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror, but then we'll see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely. 3 things that will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. So today I want to talk about these three, and in fact, I'm going to illustrate them for us today as best I know how, but let's start with the first one. What's the very first one? Faith. So here's the word faith. Everybody spell it. F-A-I-T-H. Faith. Everybody say faith. So here is a scripture that helps us learn a little bit about faith. Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, now faith, is that the same word we just spelled? Okay. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. He goes on, though, in verse 6, the writer of Hebrews says one more thing, and without, what's that word, and without what? Faith, it is impossible to please God. So you think we need faith? Yeah, because we want to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and, listen, church, that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Our first takeaway today is really, really simple. We are to put all of our faith, all of our trust in God alone. All of it. And we need to believe two things, the Bible says. You need to believe that God is real. He exists. Do you believe that? And that He rewards, that He takes care of those who earnestly seek Him, right? You believe that? You really do. Okay. So faith is trusting, listen, that things are true even when you cannot see it. Okay? Church, God is still going to be around in 2020, okay? We need to know He's going to be there for us. That's true, even though you haven't seen it yet. All right, so I'm going to try to illustrate it today. So Pastor Raymond, Pastor Nathan, would you come and help me a little bit? I'm going to use two children today. Hannah, would you help me? Would you? Now, let me, before you really commit, I got to ask a question. Do you trust me? Okay, and sit down. Would you trust me? Come on. All right. Now, he's going to blindfold you.
Okay.
Okay? And your name is?
Julia.
Okay, Julia, you trust me.
Yes.
You really do.
Well, I hope you don't do anything bad.
Okay. But why would you think I would do anything bad?
No.
You trust me.
Yes.
Okay, so Julia, now what we're going to do is we're going to blindfold you, okay. But you're just going to trust me.
Okay.
Because I'm the pastor of this church, and I wouldn't want to do anything that would dishonor God.
Okay.
All right. One more child, and Chris O'Connor, do you trust me? I usually pick on your son, but I'm like, but you trust me. You know I would never do anything to harm, really, intentionally. Harm anybody, right? Okay, so he's going to blindfold you. Come over here, just to kind of give you guys some distance and separation. I'm just going to put you in here. Just stand here. Why did I pick you? Because you trust me. Okay, he blindfolded. All right, both of you are, now, Julia, I'm here I am right here. Walk this way. There you go. There you go. Stand right here. Good. Now, listen. Chris, you can hear my voice. Julie, you can hear my voice. Now, listen carefully, because do not do anything, okay, unless I call your name to do it. Is that fair enough? Okay. Chris, would you take one step forward, just like a small step forward? Just, there you go. That's good. Whoa. Would you take, Chris, would you take one step to your left? Okay, good. Julia, would you spin around? Just spin around, yeah. Yeah. Would you spin around one more time, Julia? Okay. And Chris, would you spin around? Okay, Simon says stop. Okay. All right. Now listen very carefully. You said you trust me, Julia. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take one small step backwards. Would you take one more small step backwards? About the same. Now just hold it right there. Would you move to your right just a smidgen? There you go, right there. And I'm just going to turn you. There you go, right there. You're doing great, girl. Chris, I want you to turn 180 degrees around. It's hard to do when you're blindfolded to know exactly what that is. I want you to take two steps backwards. Trust me, Chris. I want you to take one medium-sized step to your right. I want to scare you. Now two steps to your left. Okay? And I'm just going to rotate you that way so you're facing the right way. And here's what I'll ask you. This is the hardest thing you'll have to do without using your hands or anything. I want you to, Chris and Julia, I want you to sit down. A little child's wisdom. All right, you can take your blindfolds off. Julia, I had a chair right here. Stand up again. I had you right here. Now have a seat. But in wisdom, you sat down the right way without making sure you were taken care of. Chris, you trusted me. Let me give these two big volunteers a big hand. Hannah, you didn't trust me. Julia did. Listen, church, I want you to catch this. Even though we may not be able to see God or see how God's working, we have to trust Him because He knows everything. And He only wants the best for us, so we have to put our faith in Him. Let me remind you of Romans 8:28. And we know. Everybody say those first three words. And know. Do you? Do you know that this verse is real? And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. Even when the volunteers were blindfolded, their faith and their trust was not blind. Why? It was based on what they knew about me. Your confidence in me. They knew and believed that I was going to be trustworthy. How much more is God trustworthy? When you're going, I can't see it, you can trust Him. Church, faith in God is not blind. It's trust, it's faith. It's because I know Him. And it begins by knowing His salvation. Do you know God saves us? Amen. He really saves us. And he saves us so we can go to heaven. And then knowing that he cares for us. He wouldn't do anything to harm us. In fact, it's all for good. And then getting to know him through his word and getting to know him more and more. And the more you get to know God, the more you can trust God. We sang it this morning. All his promises are what? Are they maybe and might? They're yes and amen. That means amen means so be it. Let it take place. So faith in God will never fail. Let me tell you the second word that Paul uses. So what's the three? Faith and hope. So I want to talk to you about hope that will last forever. All of us need to understand that God has a plan for our lives. Anybody believe that God has a plan for your life? And we can put our hope in his plan because God holds all the pieces of our lives together. Here's a very familiar passage in Jeremiah. Have y'all ever heard of this? Jeremiah 29:11. You've heard it? Well, here it is. For I know the plans. Now, who knows this time? God does. The faith part is my knowing that he's faithful. This time on your behalf, you can have this hope because God knows the plans he says I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for what? Good and not for disaster. To give you a future and a hope. Who's he giving it to? To you. He's going to take care of you. So I want to help illustrate this if we can. So you can trust that God holds all the pieces and he's got a plan for you, and that's why you can put your hope in him. So let's see if we can illustrate this morning. All right, Andrea, I'm going to ask you to come and help me. I need you as children to come on and help me. I have two puzzles here that we're going to put together. But you're going to put them together with the Word of God. Here's what it says. This is how it's laid out, so you can see how it's laid out. So I'm going to ask you to put that puzzle together with the Word of God. As they do that, I have a question. Does anybody know what the picture is going to look like? There's a puzzle they're putting together, but they're putting it together on the backside with the Word of God. When you buy a puzzle, how many of you usually see the picture on the box and then you start putting it together like the picture on the box? Where's the red? You know, where's the blue? You're trying to line those things up. What you have to understand about hope in God is this. God knows the whole picture of your life. He knows the picture. Even when we cannot see it and we don't have to see it, he has a plan and we can put our hope in his plan. It's for you. A future and a hope for you. God had Jeremiah write this passage when the people of Israel were actually wandering away from God. In fact, they were beginning to serve other gods. And the consequences of their sin is that they were going to be taken into captivity in Babylonia for 70 years. And God is telling them, listen, I know the plans I have for you. In their world, they can only see this is not going the way I want it to go. But God wanted them to have a hope that even though they're going to be in captivity, God was working something. And he explained, I've got good plans for you. I've got future for you. But listen to what God goes on to say in verse 12 and 13. Verse 12, then you will call on me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know what you are going through right now. But God has a future, a good future, a good plan for you. Oh, they got one together. He has hope for you. Got both of them together. He wants the very best for us, church. God tells us, listen, you can come back to God any time. Why? He's fashioning the plan as long as you seek his face. And he keeps restructuring it to say, you're outside my will, but I can use that. I can pull you back once we begin to seek his face. So you put the scripture together with, or the puzzle together with the scripture. Help me read this one. Ready? Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. So here's what we're going to do. This one over here says what? Ready? I want you to read it with me. Isaiah 40, verse 31, the first part A. Ready? But those who, what? Say that again. But those who, what are they doing?
Hoping.
Ready? One more time. But those who hope in the world, in the Lord, will
renew
their strength. You see, God holds all the pieces. He puts it together. And what we're going to do is we're going to find out the picture that God made. Yeah. Because if I flip it, what's going to happen? It's going to be a mess, though, if I lose that. And God never messes up, does he? Not at all. So here we go. I don't know. You think that's enough? One more? Think that would be wise? She is a smart girl. Okay. Now you ready? Y'all ready? Are you going? Do you really want to know what the picture looks like?
Yes.
See, that's our problem. We all want to know what the picture looks like. But we need to follow God's word first. Okay, you ready? Are you excited?
Yes.
No matter what it is, no matter what it looks like. All right, here we go. Let's see what it is.
Colorful.
It's colorful.
We already know what ours is.
Let's show them. Go ahead, show them what it looks like. You already know what yours looks like.
Yeah, Hannah flipped it over.
Hannah, I can't trust you either. But let's see, we got two more. Everybody patient, this is okay. Because we all need to learn, and sometimes object lessons help us learn. And I think I know it helps me. And all right, here we go. You already cheated. But nobody else knows. See, nobody else knows what the picture looks like, but they know because they looked on the other side. Isn't that great? We're enjoying it on this side. But that's where God goes, man, I can see what's going on. I know what I'm framing. I know what I'm doing. And yet all you can do is trust in the word. That's all you get. But you know what, young ladies? God's fashioning for you one day a handsome prince. And all your sisters will be going, ooh, yay, she's out of the house. Yay. Church, if you could only get this understanding. We follow God's word. I know, God says, the plans I have for you. I know them. And his hope will renew our strength and all of that. And yet God on the other side sees the picture. Can you trust him? Put your faith in him and your hope in his word. You'd be seated. Thank you so much. for your help. Oh, I'm not done yet. Y'all come still help me out. Y'all left me and abandoned me. Then I have to work with all these people. And you saw them, they go, okay. God wants the very best for you. Let me give you some quick biblical examples, though, so you'll understand that hope in the Lord, though we mess up here and there, we can always come back. How many remember Jacob? His name meant deceiver. In fact, if you go read Genesis chapter 27 through 32, it's like five chapters, you can read about how Jacob deceived his father, stole his brother's birthright, and was messed up. He lied, he stole. Does those sound like breaking the Ten Commandments? They are. But it did not ruin God's plan for Jacob's life, because Jacob became the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. And Jacob is in the lineage of Jesus Christ. You see, God has a purpose, though sometimes we can get outside of that. God's making the picture if we'll get back to His Word. And Jacob had a moment where he met God and it changed his life. How many remember Moses? Moses, God was structuring a beautiful picture at the very beginning of his life, and he got put into a basket, you remember, and down the river. But when Moses kind of grew up, Moses kind of messed up. Did you know he killed somebody? And he buried him in the sand and left the toes sticking out of the sand because somebody found out. But did God redeem his story? He's the one who ended up leading the people out of Egypt into the promised land. It's a beautiful story. How about New Testament? Anybody remember the name Peter? Did Peter ever mess up? Think about this. He denied that he even knew Jesus. Not once, not twice, three times. I think sometimes we can think we've messed up so bad that God can't fix the picture. God can fix the picture. He puts all the pieces together and he makes a story of glory. And you need to let your story of glory be known and keep staying in his word. Psalm 31, 24, tell, be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. So you're going to have to be strong. And even though I can't see the picture, God sees it. I'm just trusting His Word. And we can do that. Amen? Now, the last word that Paul uses is what? Faith, hope, and love, he said. It's the greatest. In fact, one of my favorite Bible verses begins, for God so loved the world. When I think about that verse, though, it makes me think about how big is God? Any idea? I mean, what if we could measure God? Let's see. I thought about it. Let's see. If I could measure him, I thought this would be kind of cool. Because we measure things when we're making and baking and stuff like that, right? If I was going to make chocolate chip cookies, should I just pull out the flour and dump it and butter and milk? And I would measure things, right? So I think it would be good that if you want to know how much God loves you, I think we want to measure, right? You think we can measure God's love? Yes? They're uncertain, I think. Okay, so this right here and this here, this should fit in there, right? Because that's the same size, correct? Right? You think? So this should fill that and be empty, correct? You don't think so? Well, let's see what happens. I think we're overflowing here a little bit. I'm doing an incredible job here. That is a masterpiece. And if I could form it, I think I could sell it, and they would put it down in some museum somewhere, because I've seen things just like that. Here's the thing. This can and that can may seem the same, but God's love does not end. His love not just fills you, it overflows. In fact, David says, my cup overflows. And one of the things we need to realize, though I know this can will empty at some point, God's love never will. God's love never, ever fails. And there's no way we will ever hold all of God's love. This is fun. Chris, do you need a shave this morning? In church, I don't know how long it goes. It just... We can't measure it that way, because why? Whatever we have, God would overflow and fill it completely. So I had another thought. Maybe, just maybe, we can measure God this way. Because the Bible says the length, the breadth, the height, and that's what we do with a measuring tape. And I can measure you today, right, and find out how high you are and how wide you are and how thick you are and all that with this. So we can figure that out. But you think we can measure God with this? Why not? Well, let me read a scripture back here for this. Lamentations 3:22 says, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. Never ends, church. The can will run out, but God won't. Measuring him, trying to measure him this way, listen to Psalm 108, verse 4. For great is your love, higher than the heavens. You think we can begin to measure the heavens? So there's no way that a tape measure would work. Well, what about, I thought of one other thing. Maybe a watch. Maybe we can measure how long God will love us. What do you think, church? Listen to Psalm 103, verse 17. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. So a watch is not going to help me measure his love either. Let me illustrate it one more way with you this morning. There's a covenant I made with a lady sitting right there. It's called a marriage covenant. And with that marriage covenant, we chose to use rings as a reminder. But I want you to look at that ring, and I want you to try to tell me, where's the beginning and where's the end of that ring? Where does it begin? It doesn't. It doesn't have a beginning? It just doesn't. Where's the beginning? Doesn't have a beginning either. It doesn't have an end. The ring is a symbol when we get married and we use it, because what we do is we try to illustrate something on earth that represents everlasting love. And that's why we choose rings, because there's no beginning, no end. And I thought about this. When I put the ring on the circle, it covers me. And it's there forever. When we make our covenant with God and say, God, I love you, he's already said, I love you, but what are we wearing on our hearts to remember that? God loves you with an everlasting love, has no beginning, has no end. And I think so many times we can kind of get lost in thinking, well, God, you don't love me anymore. You ever felt that? Let me ask them, anybody ever felt maybe God didn't love you anymore? You don't want to say it now because I know his love is from everlasting to everlasting, but I'm telling you, we've all probably felt that at times. We felt like, God, you don't love me anymore. You can't love me for what I've done. Listen, God will never love you any more or any less than he does right this moment. He loves you completely. And one of the things we need to realize is that his love will never end. Never. John 3:16, read it all with me. For God so loved the world, everybody, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And then 1 John 3 says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. Church, there's a fine line between putting away childish things and being childlike. God wants us to understand in such simplicity the things that will last forever. The things that will last. Faith, hope, and love. Church, you need to keep your faith in God. I don't know what you may be struggling with, but you just need to remember the blindfold? Listen to God. You can trust him. And keep your hope in God. Remember the pictures we did? I don't know what picture he's designing for you, but I know it's good. I know it's perfect. And yet our side looks like a mess. But if you'll peel away the mess and follow his word, the picture will come together. We just got to trust him in that. And then love, you'll never measure the love of God. It will always fill and overflow in your life. You cannot contain the love of God. But the whole purpose is for you not to contain the love of God. The whole purpose is for him to fill you so that it flows out of you. It just pours out of you. So you need to know God's love will always be there for you and always take you home. So we just need to surrender our lives to God. Amen. Would you give my crew here a great hand? Thank you. You can be seated. Hannah, would you trust me now? I thank you for your truthfulness. There's a lot of people that, you know, maybe don't trust the pastor or the role that we play. They've been hurt. They've become disenchanted with church because of the way church people acted. Church, that's why it's so important for us to be consistent in our lives. That's why this faith, I've got to walk it out. I wanted to be here this morning because my dad passed away. I wanted you to see how I'm walking it out. Oh, I'll cry. But church, I'm living to go be with him. But not just my dad, my Savior. That's who I want to see. And it's because of my mom and dad who taught me about him. I want to know him. I believe he's going to allow us to see our loved ones again. But church, I wanted to walk this out with you because I want you to know this faith I talk about, I walk it out. This hope I have, I walk it out. And this love that's to be from God in us and through us and for others, I want it to be there. And so I pray you will trust me. Chris, thank you for trusting me. Julia, thank you for trusting me this morning. And I pray you'll continue to trust me. This morning, though, all of us need to make sure that we're surrendering our lives. And Pastor James, worship team, would you come? That we're surrendering our lives to God. Because as we enter this next year, I don't know what it holds. I don't know what the end picture will look like. But one thing I have his word. And his word tells me everything's going to be okay. In fact, this week, one of the Christmas gifts I received was this little plaque. It says, relax, God's in charge. Maybe it's your theme for this year. Relax. It doesn't mean I don't do anything. It just means I follow his word. I stay and I take my confidence in his word. That he's working all things together for good. I can't see your future. All I know is God is faithful and true. He'll never let you down. And he's got hope for you and a future for you. And he's got so much love for you. Don't reject it. Don't walk away from it. Stay in it. And one day, the pitcher, when he turns it around, you'll say, I see where it fits now. Heavenly Father, I thank you that your word is true and faithful. And so, Lord, if there's anyone in this room this morning that hasn't put their faith in you, this morning, maybe they can believe Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if I confess with my mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. So Lord, would you be Lord of their life? You can invite them right now. Be Lord of your life. Say, be master of my life. Forgive me. Make me clean. I want to live for Jesus. Amen. And church, for you, I know a lot of this was like, well, I was so kid-focused, I didn't really get a lot out of that. Well, on your way out this morning, for you adults, I have something for you. As you entered the new year, Scott Craig passed this on to me, and when I read through it, I thought, how powerful. As you enter the new year, there are 10 questions you could ask. I'm going to read you the 10 questions, but there's more to it. But question number one, what's one thing you could do this year to increase your enjoyment of God? Go to church more often? Worship more deeply? Give it some thought. Number two, what's an impossible prayer you can pray? Because you know all things are possible with God. What's an impossible prayer? Number three, what's the most important thing you could do to improve your family life? Number four, in which spiritual discipline, and this might be a great way to go to the discipleship class, but in which spiritual discipline do you most want to make progress this year? Number five, what is the single biggest time waster in your life, and how can you redeem the time? Number six, what is the most helpful new way you could strengthen your church? Number seven, for whose salvation will you pray most fervently this year? Number eight, what's the most important way by God's grace you will try to make this year different from last? Number nine, what one thing could you do to improve your prayer life this year? Maybe it's praying fervently for some soul. And lastly, number 10, what single thing can you plan to do this year that will matter most in 10 years or in eternity? These are yours on your way out. I don't know if you got a whole lot out of faith, hope, and love. Oh, I did. But when I read this, church, it takes me to another level of working that faith out, working that hope out, working that love out. Amen? So those are available to you this morning as you step out. Would you stand? And we're going to close simply with this song that we sang a little bit early, but I will build my life upon your love. And then it breaks into holy. He's so holy. Amen? But would you make that declaration in prayer?
I will build my life upon your love.
Why?
It is
it's unshakable, it's firm, and I will trust.
And I will put my trust in you.
Assurance in your life today
upon your love.
church. Let your love pour through and overflow, Lord, that others might know that you have redeemed us. Lord, help us to put our confidence, our faith in you. And Lord, that our hope, that you are working something incredible and marvelous, that you do all things well. And Lord, let your love not just pour over us, but fill us and flow out of us so the world will know your love also. And Jesus, strengthen us. Give us a Jesus-filled year. Lord, all year long, we want to walk with you and talk with you and spend time getting to know you more. And the more we know you, the more we'll trust you. Help us, I pray. Strengthen us. Go with us. Bless everyone in this new year, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, our Redeemer, amen. Amen. Happy New Year to you. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Give you peace. Amen. God bless you.